Good morning. I'm so happy to see that we're not the only ones that got out of bed. I must say the kids struggled this morning. Oh, it's wet. So I've got a word this morning that God has been speaking to me about for about the last month, 6 weeks. So we as a household feels like I've been on a bit of a journey with what I felt God saying, and it's around humility. All right, so hold on to your seat. It might feel a little bit uncomfortable. I told Richard about a month ago, I feel God is speaking to me about humility. Do you think I've got a pride issue? Good husband, no, my love. No, I don't think you've got a pride issue. But honestly, I didn't think. So I was like, you know how it goes. You're thinking, okay, Lord, who is this word for? You know, if God is speaking to me about this, then I'm like, okay, so I'm ready, God, whenever you want me to give this word to somebody. And I started studying the scriptures on humility, and man, was I wrong. I realized, wow, I've got a lot of pride inside of this heart that needs repentance of. So I've had a major revelation on just how much pride I've got in my own heart. But more than that, the small key humility is that opens an amazing door in the kingdom of God. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. It is quite a lot of scripture, so hang on to your Bible or whatever you want to do. We've got a bit of a teaching going, but I believe it's going to be good. When it's from the Word of God, it's always good. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to dive in. Father, we just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the Spirit of revelation. You are the one that breaks open the scriptures to us. And I pray, Holy Spirit, this morning that you would just come and just reveal your truth and the Father's love to us, God. I thank you, God, that you are such a loving and good Father. When you do reveal truth and it cuts a little bit deeper than we are comfortable with, it's just because you love us. It's just out of love, Father. So we just take authority over every thought that's maybe not in submission to your will this morning, every distraction, every spirit that's not of you, and we just commanded to leave this venue right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, that whatever you want to speak to us will be heard this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So I've been reading. I read kind of systematically through the Bible. I kind of go through it once every 18 years. Goodness me. 18 months to 2 years. And where I am at now is in Micah. You know, those little prophets at the end of the Old Testament. To be very honest, I'll confess this, I skipped Lamentations this time around. So I'll come back to Lamentations, but I started kind of middle of last year. I decided I'm going from Genesis all the way through. I normally read with a reading plan, but that's what I did. And I got to these little prophets, you call it little prophets? I don't know. Minor prophets. There's the word. Thank you, Derek. Minor prophets. And I was amazed at how, look, we're in the Old Testament. They need to slaughter and sacrifice quite a lot of animals to make atonement for their sin. But I was just amazed at how many almost New Testament truths there are in these little prophetic books, minor prophets. And if we think of the Old Testament prophets, sometimes we can get quite discouraged because it's quite a lot of doom and gloom, if you know what I mean. But I got to Micah. And I was amazed, Micah 6, I only have one verse up there, but you can go and read that chapter. It's amazing. It's God speaking to Israel, and he's basically saying what all the Old Testament prophets are saying. Your hearts have gone off after other gods. You are not, I delivered you out of Egypt, but you have strayed. You've gone away. You've served other gods. And God is calling his people back. And then what happens in this chapter is the people of God, they start asking, okay, God, so what do we need to sacrifice, you know? What do we need to bring? And this is the right question in Old Testament times, you know? It's about the amount of cows and it's sheep you need to slaughter. Yet in this verse 8, you get to verse 8, and then God speaks through the prophet, and he says, you know what? I don't want sacrifice. I don't need more animals. I don't want that. I want your heart. And it was so beautiful to me, and I thought, how would the people of that time have received this, because this is not what was their custom and what was normal, even what was required from the books of the law, if you think about it. Yet this is what God says, and he says in verse 8, he has shown you, O man, what is good. What this is what you need to do to please God, which we all want to do. That's our main aim in life, hopefully, is to please him. And to get him to say, well done, good and faithful servant, at the end of the day. And it says, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? And I parked here for about a good 3 weeks. I stopped at this scripture, this verse, and I was like, Holy Spirit, what is this? What, how do we do this? And now it's easy. You start at the top of the verse, hey? So I started and I was like, okay, but I do justly. What does that mean? Okay, God, I need to be honest. I need to be honorable in what I do. I need to be fair. I need to treat people fairly. That's justice. That's how we, but then it goes almost a step back and there's the do justly. So then I realized, okay, but it's not good enough to just be just, and I want to be fair, and I want to be honest. On Sundays, we all want to be honest. But come Monday morning, how honest do I really want to be when whatever you're facing, you know? And I realized the scripture is quite quite amazing. He gives us three verbs. We did English with my grade 6 this week. Wow, that's difficult. English, but three verbs, and the first one is to do justly. It's not good enough for us to just have it in our hearts. And I realized what a challenge. What a challenge. And the second one is to love mercy. We've spoken about this. What is mercy? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Okay, there's a difference between mercy and grace. For those who haven't been in a while, I'll share it again. If you go down with your motorcycle like they do on a Sunday morning and you go way too fast, and at the end of the road there's a speed cop, a traffic officer, and he stops you and he says, this is a 60 zone. You went 180 kilometers an hour. You're supposed to get a ticket, but you know what? I'm not going to give you a ticket. I'm just going to give you a warning. That's mercy. You didn't get what you deserved. You guys with me? Grace is this same traffic officer stops you and he says, you went 180 in a 60 zone. I've got a bonus for you. And he gives you a pick and pay voucher and he says, go and get yourself a lunch. That is grace, getting what you don't deserve. Does that make sense? But God says here, what he requires of us is to love mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Remember, you don't get the speeding ticket when you're supposed to get it. That's all of us. That's what Jesus did. Mercy on the cross. Now it's quite easy to love mercy for myself and my family, isn't it? It's nice when I deserve something harsh or punishment and I don't get it. Or even if I deserve to be treated badly because I was rude to somebody and they're still friendly to me, that's mercy. But how difficult is it when somebody else receives mercy? How hard is it when somebody else at work has been rude, has not been doing their job, you've actually been filling in for them, yet when promotion time comes, they get the promotion. They got what they don't deserve. Now it's difficult. But God says we're supposed to love mercy. And I'm like, Lord, I love mercy when it comes my way. I don't like it when it goes to somebody that I feel don't deserve the mercy. Yet God says, do justly, love mercy. And then the last one is to walk humbly with your God. Now, when we walk humbly, it means we are going somewhere. We are not stagnant in our relationship with God, but there's supposed to be some form of momentum. What Dirkie said, there's always more. It's not good enough to be content and to be happy with this is my relationship with God. It's almost a holy discontent. I also want more. I want more of God. But I realized as I was meditating on this, I was like, Lord, if I'm truly honest, I do not love mercy. I don't. I love it when it comes to me, but I don't love it when it happens around me. I don't always. I don't love it when my child doesn't get picked for the team. I think they should have been picked because another child got the chance. That's difficult. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, you're reading it the wrong way around. I felt him saying, start with humility. If you get humility, you will love mercy and you will do justly. So that took me on another bit of a journey, and I went into, okay, so what is humility? All right, so let's start studying what is humility. Man, did I discover a couple of things. So humility is more than just, you know, in my mind, humility, I think it's just the opposite of arrogance. You know, we know the one with the loudest mouth and the people that speak the most and all about me and I. You know, truths. We all know that one. And it got me thinking, and I'm like, Lord, how do we balance humility with my identity, my royal, I'm a son and daughter of the King? Because you see, I realized, maybe it's just me, but my frame of reference for humility is Yerak's a virum. I'm terrible. I'm so bad and so sinful. And you can go into that hole, which I do not believe is godly humility at all. God has made us so I want you to almost see, and I'm going to try and explain it as good as I can, but to see the difference between your identity as a son and a daughter of God. You are royalty. You are the son and daughter of the King of Kings. You are worth it. Jesus would have come just for you. So humility is not thinking less of yourself in terms of your identity, but it is thinking more about others. Does that make sense? So when we speak about humility, please don't go to, I'm worthless and I don't deserve anything. That is just a slap in the face to Jesus. When I try and teach and listen, I have just realized that our three kids all have an issue with pride. And I realize, and you're going to see it now, I'm not being harsh on them. I honestly think it's part of the sinful world we're born into. That we do not realize the root, and I'm going to read a quote from Andrew Murray now, the root of a whole lot of sin and issues is actually pride. And but at the same time, when I try to explain, and it's been difficult lessons, and I'm not going to lie, not all the kids have gotten it yet. We're working on it. I'm still working on it. But I try to explain to them this humility thing, and I'll explain now a little bit further how I went through it with them. And I realized if my kids would start thinking that they're worthless and not good enough and they can't amount to anything, that would be a slap in my face. I would say, no, you don't get it. William, Margaret, Christina, you guys are amazing. But we need to think of other people more. We need to, there's a couple of adjustments we need to make. Why? Because God is saying he requires us to walk humbly with him. It's one of the requirements. So I'm going to start by reading just a quote from Andrew Murray. It says the humility, I think it is up there, the humility is the place of entire dependence of God, on God. Humility, the place of entire dependence on God, is the first duty and the highest virtue of the creature and the root of every virtue. And so pride, or the loss of this humility, is the root of every sin and evil. How hectic is that? Forget about the bottom part. Let's focus on the positive. It's the highest, the first duty and the highest virtue of the creature and the root of every virtue. And that's exactly what I felt God saying. You get humility, you will love mercy. You will do justly. Patience will flow. Humility is the small key that unlocks a big door in the kingdom of God. So we're going to look at a couple of key scriptures. There's so many scriptures, and you're gonna recognize a couple of them, but we're gonna run through them quite quickly because I want to get to how do I know whether I'm humble or not. But there are a couple of key scriptures that you will see why it is important to be humble. And it's really amazing when you recognize and see,
Wow.
If I get humility, there's a whole world that goes open to me. The first one will be James 4, verse 10. It says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. God will lift you up when you humble yourself. James 4, verse 6, it says, but he who is God gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. When we humble, I haven't done anything. I haven't served a church. I haven't performed for God. I've just been humble. I've humbled myself. God says, I'm going to give you grace. Grace is what you don't deserve. It's the, you're getting what you don't deserve. Matthew 23, verse 11 and 12. It says there, but he who is greatest amongst you will be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. There it is again. God will exalt you if you humble yourself. You haven't done anything. You just need to humble yourself. God will exalt you. God will give you grace. God will lift you up. Then we carry on. Proverbs 18. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, that's proud. And before honor is humility. We have a humble heart. God says, I will bring honor. I will bring honor. I like the next one. It says there, Proverbs 22. It says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Who wants riches, honor, and life? We all pray for that. God says the key is humility. Humility. Proverbs 11 verse 2. When pride comes, then comes shame. But when the but with the humble is wisdom. How often do we pray for wisdom? Lord, what do I do? I've got a difficult decision to make. Lord, which decision, which way do I go? God says the key is humility. With humility comes wisdom. Psalm 25 verse 9, the humble he guides in justice and the humble he teaches his way. God, what is your will? What is the next step? Should I move? Shouldn't I move? Should I put my kids here? Shouldn't I? God says, humble yourself and I will guide you and I will teach you my way. Psalm 149 verse 4, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Another translation says with victory. You want to be victorious? You want to be set free of whatever? You need salvation. We all need salvation. God says, humble yourself. So I looked at this, and I kid you not, there's a list this long of scriptures that I didn't list, and you all know them. Go and type in humility verses in Google and see what pops up. And you realize, in the kingdom of God, humility is a big deal. It's a big deal. There's a summary slide there just from the couple of verses that we read. It says that God will lift you up. He will give you grace. He will exalt you. You will receive honor, riches, and life. You will receive wisdom. He will guide you. He will teach you. You will receive salvation, victory over whatever it is you need victory. These are not, if you read your Bible, if you go to church, if you repent, it's if you humble yourself, if you have humility. And I'm hoping that is enough to convince all of us to say, God, am I humble? And how do I make sure that pride doesn't come in? How do I get this humility? There is a slide about pride, and I'll quickly go through it. I don't want to really focus on pride because I think when we see humility and what God has for us, who cares about pride? But let's go there for those who enjoy that kind of argument. So it's up there. I'm not going to read the scriptures. But it says that God opposes the proud. He resists you. Imagine that one, coming to God, and he says, I'm sorry, I oppose you. Oppose is, I don't listen, I'm done. God will humble you. We spoke about that in the car to Franchuk the one night. He says, God will humble you if you don't humble yourself. That's something. Shame comes from pride. Destruction comes. And then in Ubatya, this was the one that got me to, God, pride is really an issue. I need to be humble. This was the scripture because Ubatya is kind of two or three books before Micah. It says there, pride will cause our hearts to be deceived. And I was like, wow. And I realized, That is why I thought I was humble, because I was actually deceived, because I had pride in my own heart. So I'm hoping that you see that humility is not a good thing to do, and it's not something that is attached to your identity as a child of God, but it is a virtue we're supposed to grow in and pursue. We want to pursue the gifts of the Spirit, and we should. We all want to prophesy, and we all want to pray for the dead and they be raised. We want to do that. But we've spoken about this also. You can only go as far in the kingdom of God. God can only entrust you with as much anointing as your character can handle. Okay? He loves you too much to give you the blessing of the anointing, the promotion, the whatever you so badly desire. He's not going to give it to you if there are cracks in your character. Why? Because when that anointing comes, you fill in the blanks, whatever you trust in God for, that will break you. And God loves you too much. So if our anointing or our promotion grows not hand in hand with our character, we're going to run into problems. And I think we've all run into problems at some stage or another. Hey, prayed for that baby. God, we so badly want a baby. We will be the best parents. We will not do what they are doing. And then that baby comes and you're like, please God, just take it away. Let it sleep. And you realize, wow, what happened to all this patience I had before I had a baby? What happened to all of that? God, what happened? There are cracks in my character. So I want to encourage you. Yes, we are pursuing and we will pursue the gifts of the Holy Spirit and all the miracles and the signs and the wonders, and we're doing it. But if we don't get our characters, if we don't pursue godly character, we won't be able to handle that which God wants to entrust to us. And let's be honest, he's just wanting to entrust the more to us because of a world that needs it. Okay, so your world needs more of the Holy Spirit in your life. But more of the Holy Spirit means more anointing. And you cannot handle more anointing if your character is not what God wants it to be. Does that make sense? So character is not a less than the gift of prophecy. We've got to pursue both. And humility is one of the virtues of having a godly character. So how do I know if I'm humble? Okay. Ask your wife. I'm going to get to that one. But the first one is 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14. We all know that scripture. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. And what do you do when you've humbled yourself? You pray, you seek his face, and you turn from your wicked ways. You repent. And I was so struck. I've never read this scripture in this context. Reading, if I'm humble, I will pray. How often, I had to repent of this one so hard because I'm the first one to go and speak to Richard. What do I do about this? This happened. It's not wrong to ask advice, but do I first ask advice or do I first pray about it? Do I first pray about it? How much are we praying? How much are we praying saying, I cannot do this. God, you are the only one. And I'm guilty. And we often justify, I'm really busy. I've got lots of kids. I've got a lot of work. So I just kind of shoot a prayer here and there. And I get it. We're not going to pray for 3 hours. Maybe you do, bless you. But God is saying, do you actually pray? That's a sign of humility. Do you actually seek my face? You know, God has put a lot of people around you, which is godly and good. And we should ask for wisdom, but we should seek his face first. We should go to him first. That is a sign that you are humble, saying, God, I cannot do this, but I know you can. I'm coming to you. And then it says there, turn from your wicked ways. That's repentance. How quick are we to repent? How quick are we to say, I'm so sorry, please forgive me? That's one of the things that we're working through with our kids, especially the one, I won't name any names in the sermon, but especially the one, you have to say you're sorry. Sorry, but I'm sorry. There's always a justification. And I'm like, no, you're not getting it. When we repent, I take ownership. I say, Lord, I'm really sorry. I screwed up. We had a moment like this yesterday with our middle daughter, Margaret. She's been asking for about 2 weeks. She's been asking if she can have something. And you know, well, in our house, when it's not a yes or no, I'm not too sure, it's a ons gaan terugkom na jou toe. We'll get back to you kind of a answer. Sal daaroor dink. Or what? Yeah, that's kind of the answer of buying time, you know, as a parent. So we're getting there where it's not easy. It's not a 2 or 3 year old asking, can I have an ice cream? No or yes. We're getting there where we actually have to think about some of the requests that come through. And she's been asking for about 2 weeks. And I've been saying, I will speak to your dad and I will get back to you. And it's been, and I know I delayed because we were busy and we haven't really had time. And then I didn't think it was that big an issue. I thought it's an easy yes. And then when I mentioned it to Richard, he said, no, it's not an easy yes. It's a discussion. And I was like, oh, okay. Didn't think it was a discussion, but all right, we're going to discuss it. And eventually we got Margaret into the room to discuss it yesterday morning. And she flared up completely. She was like, I asked you a long time ago, yes or no? And Richard said, ons moet hieroor praat, ons moet hieroor praat. And she's just saying, I just want to know, is it yes or no? And Richard's trying to get the discussion going and saying, we're not at yes or no yet. We're first going to discuss. And she just couldn't make that switch. And eventually, Richard said, you know what, Margaret, we are so sorry. We frustrated you. We took too long to get back to you. Please, will you forgive us? And I said, I'm sorry, Margie. I made a mistake. I should have gotten back to you sooner. And the moment we repented, not mom and dad was busy. This is not really important in our world. You know, this is just your 10-year-old issue. That is not repentance. Repentance is, I'm really sorry we frustrated you. And Richard did it so well, she immediately, her eyes were full of tears, just accepted the apology. She could calm down and we could have the discussion. And she got a yes at the end. But she could do the discussion. But you just realized that humility is repenting without an excuse. And it's most difficult to repent where you feel, because I was sitting there and I'm like, yes, but we were busy, you know, and I told her we will get back to. There's so many justifications. But when we are humble, are we able to repent? That's the first one. The second one is Romans 12, verse 3. It says there, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think somberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Don't think of yourself too highly. Ish, this is moeilik. It's a difficult one. Especially when you're trying to figure out what is my identity in God. And sometimes the pendulum tips a little bit and you think you are God's gift to the world. Which you are, but it's not that much about you. It's more about God. And this one, I struggle with when I get corrected. Oh, goodness, Richard has told me you don't take correction very well. And I have to admit, I struggle with that. He came to me, praise God, it doesn't often happen, but he came to me about a year ago after a sermon I preached, and he said, my love, we need to speak about one or two statements you made in the sermon. I kid you not, it felt like my heart dropped to my feet. I was like, excuse me? He says, there's just one or two things I didn't agree with. I understand your heart, but the way you said it, it didn't come across right. I struggled. I kid you not. It took me probably about 2 or 3 days to get myself in order. And I realized, here ek is trots. I've got issues. How do we take correction? How do we take criticism? Especially from those around you. Because let me tell you, we all have blind spots. We all have blind spots. And it's almost easy to get the email, which we do. You get the odd email, we don't agree with this or we don't agree with that that's happening in church or that you preached on. It's a lot easier when it's somebody out there. But once it gets to somebody close to home, in your small group, when your small group leader says, you know what, we really love you, But can we just say in love that there's maybe a blind spot here? That's difficult, but that's humility. Am I humble enough to say, God, I'm missing it. Help me see what they are seeing. Go and ask your husband, you know what, the small group or my friend said this, or my child, when your child comes to you and says, Mom or Dad, hey, that's difficult, but that's a sign of humility. It's not yawn, amen. It's, I will take it and I will go and pray about it and I will ask my husband, you know what, Margaret or William said this, do you think this is the truth? That is humility, considering what people bring and lay before your feet. We often get it, people say they want to come for advice to us. Yes, of course, come for advice. And then halfway through the conversation, you realize they're not actually here for advice. They're not actually asking for advice. They just actually want your blessing and your encouragement. And there's a difference. When you ask, when you say, I want your advice, because the scripture says, and we've had that, it's a couple of times. It's very interesting. It's happened a couple of times. Then people say, we feel God is saying that we need to move, or I had a dream about this and this, and I would like to come and speak to you guys and see what do you feel God is saying. And then we actually pray, and we're ready for the discussion. And then once the coffee arrives and the discussion starts, you realize they don't actually want your advice. They've already decided. It's not open for discussion at all. And that's fine if you are coming to say, I've decided because I feel God is saying X, Y, and Z. But if you are saying, I want advice because God is, the Word of God says, in the counsel of many, there's wisdom. So when I submit my situation, my decision to the counsel of many, am I actually open to listen and to hear? Or do I just want them to confirm what I've already decided? That's difficult, but that's humility. I don't think, or feel I know all the answers. Do I defend myself when somebody corrects me? Am I thinking too highly of myself? This is very sombering. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, but I feel we have to do this. All right, we're almost there. The next one, Ephesians 4, it says there, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity in the Spirit through the bond of peace. When I'm humble, I'm a peace and a unity maker. I make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. In this world and day and age we live in, we've got so many reasons to get offended. And most of them are justifiable. And I'm not saying your hurt and your experience is not hurtful. It is. But the Word of God says when we are humble and gentle, we live with one another in patience and we bear one another in love and we make every effort. I cannot tell you the amount of times in the last couple of months we've had people and we've had to sit somebody down and say, you need to go and speak to X, Y, and Z and you guys need to sort it out. Because to not speak and to just walk away, whether it's in a marriage, in church, we've had that. To just ignore the problem and say, you're right and I'm wrong and I'll just sit on this side of church and you sit on that side. That's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says we should make every effort to live in unity and in peace. And I want to challenge us leaders in our homes, moms, dads, are we making every effort to live in unity and peace in our marriages? What would our marriages look like if we are truly humble? What would it look like? Would we make every effort or would we just akslaap vroeg vanaand? Is making every effort, I do feel I was right, but I'm making the effort and saying, please explain to me how you experienced the situation. Let me try and put myself in your shoes. The amount of times we've said that, not to couples, to everybody. In fact, to our kids. William, can you try and put yourself in your sister's shoes? And for a moment, not try and explain how you experienced it, but can you try and put yourself in somebody else's shoes and try and see why is this difficult for them. When we are humble, we are peace and unity makers. We are quick to say, I'm a peacekeeper, so I just don't say anything. You know, there's peace in our house. We just don't talk about nothing. You know, we just sweep it under the carpet. That's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, we've got to speak. And sometimes the truth is difficult, but we do it in love. Why? Because we're fighting for peace and for unity. That's one of the signs that we're humble. It's very quiet in church. The last scripture, Philippians. No, it's not the last scripture, but the last one for now. Philippians 2 verse 3, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. And you have got two. The first one is self-promotion. That's what it says here. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. This is a difficult one. Why? Because ambition and motives, it's in your heart. Nobody knows why I gave a gift to somebody in church or to my friend or my colleague at work or my boss. Why did you give it? Was it a selfish ambition? That's difficult. That's difficult. Am I doing things just so that I will be promoted, so that I will be seen, so that I will be praised? Philippians says, who wrote Philippians? Paul. Paul says that when we do something, our motives should be pure. When we're humble, I don't do something to get something. That's difficult. In a world which says we need to climb the corporate ladder, and you climb it through X amount of golf days, and this sponsor and that sponsor, and God is saying, I'm the one who promotes. God is the one who promotes. God is the one who sees. There is how many sons? Samuel, they all look amazing, but I don't look the way you look. I look at the heart. And I feel a word for somebody. I feel like it. David, if God has chosen you and it's your time for promotion, he will get you where you are at. He will send and he will go through the whole list and he will tell them to go get you at the sheep in the middle of the field. God is the one who brings promotion. He's the one who says it's time for you to shine or not. I'm going to leave that there. The last one, if we're humble, we are able to celebrate another's success. I tried to teach this to William, and I said, you need to be able to celebrate your sisters, other people's successes. That's part of being humble. That's part of pleasing God. We want to please God. Your mama pleasing God. I want to. Oh, come on, boy. Then we've got to be able to celebrate. So I said, how difficult is it to celebrate a friend of his? Is Yandra, is a good friend at school. He plays amazing rugby. He's in the A-team rugby or whatever. So I said, when Yandra makes the rugby team, how difficult is it to say, well done, Yandra, that's amazing? Not difficult at all, Mom. So I said, okay, and how about when Caleb makes the B team in hockey? How difficult is that? Yeah, that's a bit more difficult. So I said, well, why is it more difficult to say, well done to Caleb than to Yana? Because he says, well, Mom, I don't play rugby, but I do play hockey. And he hit the nail on the head. I said, it's so easy to celebrate somebody's success when it's not something you wanted. How happy are you for your friend when that long-awaited husband arrives when you've been praying for your husband? How much do we celebrate when somebody else gets the promotion, gets the place, gets the house, gets the whatever, you fill in the dots? When God blesses somebody, that very thing you've been trusting for. How difficult is that? That's what Philippians says, value others above yourself. You know, God is amazing with this kind of thing, and you see it with the disciples. We see it with the disciples. They were 12, picked. Amazing, 12 disciples. He had 70, he sent 70 out. At times he had more than 70 people following him, which he called the disciples, not the 5 and 4,000 he fed. But he had 12 disciples that were handpicked. You would I mean, can you imagine to be one of Jesus' disciples? Yet Jesus singled out three. Do you guys know that Jesus had an inner circle? Huh? Peter, James, and John. He would say, you are all equal. I love you all. Peter, James, and John, you come with me with the little girl upstairs. The rest of you stay outside. Thank you, Richard. I never knew that. I never knew, because I think about Jesus, and I'm like, no, he's fair. He treats everybody the same. And he loves us all the same. But there are times that he promotes the one and not the other. And we see it. And straight after this one incident, go read it in Gospels. Maybe we'll speak another time. Our time is up. But straight after this, or right before this incident where he would take, you know, where he went in, healed one of the little girls, but he only took in Peter, James, and John. Right before that, they had a major fight about who's the greatest in the kingdom of God. In fact, the one's mom said, please, can my two sons sit, one on your right-hand side and one on your left-hand side? You know? And Jesus comes and he says, no, you want to be the greatest, you need to be the least. Lesson in humility. And kind of saying, no, there's no rank, but you three, come with me. Doesn't like it. That's typical. That's Jesus. That's what he does. And the test is, the challenge is, how do I handle that? What happens in my heart? When it's not my day to be called aside, to be praised, to be promoted. That's a sign of humility. Are we able to rejoice when others are celebrated? I read a book a while ago, and the guy says, if you are jealous, if you're struggling, I didn't want to call it jealousy, I'm just saying you're not maybe as humble as you think. But if you struggle with this aspect, he said, put action to the celebration. Go and give that person a gift. Put action. Sometimes we need to walk it out and say, I'm really struggling, but God, my heart, you know I'm struggling, but I'm just going to phone them or send them a WhatsApp and say, I'm so happy for you. Let me tell you, you do it enough times, your heart will catch on. Okay? We often say, I'll do it when my heart is ready and when I'm pure and when I'm ready, I will go and say sorry. No, the Bible doesn't say when you're ready. It says make every effort. Trust me, your heart will follow. You do it many enough times, your heart will follow. And God will bless you. So how do I know if I am humble? Whew, it's difficult. This is what we spoke about. We actually pray. You actually pray. You seek God. You repent. You don't think of yourself too highly. You are a peace and a unity maker. You are not promoting yourself, and you are able to rejoice in somebody else's successes. These are only a few. I kid you not, you go and Google, how do I know if I'm humble? There will be a list from the roof to the ground. But these are the ones I've felt the Holy Spirit highlight. And you know, it's not, and I'm really hoping you don't feel this as a condemnation, but more as an invitation. God saying, you get this thing right, you pursue humility, and there is so much. There is so much. I will exalt you. I will honor you. I will give you riches. I will give you life. But our character has got to be one of humility. Now, if we go back to Micah 6, verse 8, you don't need to go there. But if I'm humble, do you see the context? It will be easy for me to love mercy. Why? Because I'm able to rejoice when others are celebrated. I will do justly. Why? Because I don't think of myself. I decide who gets the biggest tip at the petrol station. No, I'm fair. I'm just. I work honestly. Why? Because I'm rooted in humility. Does that make sense? I'm going to end with a final quote from Andrew Murray. And then we're going to pray. Humility is perfect quietness of heart. It is to expect nothing, to wonder at nothing that is done to me, to feel nothing done against me. That is to not take it too personally, but to be able to say, it's not about me. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to make peace. I'm going to make unity. It is to be at rest with when nobody praises me. That's difficult. I'll confess, since I'm here and I have the mic and I feel the Holy Spirit. You know how much, and I've told Richard this, how easy it is to step away from this podium and to look for the praises of man. I vang my nog elke keer. Every now and again, I realize I'm actually looking for Richard to say, you did so well today. I'm looking for WhatsApp. I'm looking. And if I'm not getting it, I sometimes even ask him, do you think it was all right? But you don't do it in a boastful, because I'm obviously not proud, you know. So I say, did I say that all right? Do you think that was slightly offensive? What am I doing? I'm looking for praises. I'm looking for praises. And nobody will know but me and God. And when I'm blamed or despised, I'm at rest when nobody praises me, and when I'm blamed and despised. It is to have a blessed home in the Lord where I can go in and shut the door and kneel to my Father in secret and am at peace as in a deep sea of calmness when all around and above is trouble. It's the walking away from a situation. I didn't get what I felt I deserved, what I've been praying for. I didn't get the praises. You fill in the blanks. But you go into a secret place with your Father, knowing that if I humble myself, He will exalt me. He sees me. God, help me to have a heart of humility. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm not actually going to ask you to stick up your hand, because I suspect it might be the whole church. But I wanna invite you. And if there's any form of condemnation or any voice that is speaking to you and telling you, you are so bad, then that is not the voice of the Holy Spirit. So we just silence any voice of condemnation right now in Jesus' name. The voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of your Heavenly Father is the one inviting you, saying, come, let me show you everything I have for you. The invitation is there. It's the little oil meter that goes on in the car, or the petrol meter, whatever light that goes on. The petrol light is not your enemy, it's your friend. Might feel like your enemy with the prices, but it's your friend. Because if that light doesn't go on, you're going to get stuck next to a road you don't want to be stuck at. And that's the invitation this morning. If somewhere along the line the Holy Spirit spoke to you this morning saying, maybe there's a little bit of pride in your heart in this area or that area, then the invitation is there this morning to just repent. Say, Jesus, I repent. Please forgive me of my pride in the area when it comes to self-promotion. Forgive me for not being a peace lover and a unity lover and a maker of peace and unity. Please forgive me for not being able to repent and ask forgiveness without a justification. I'm going to give you just a couple of seconds, and you just bring whatever it is the Holy Spirit has highlighted. Just bring it before the Lord, and you just ask for forgiveness. Repentance is saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I fell short. I choose to walk in the different direction. 1 Peter 5:5 says there, clothe yourself in humility. The decision is ours whether we, in a sense, put on the jacket of humility. So I want to give an invitation. I'm not going to call anybody forward, but if you want to, I feel we must do a prophetic act and just put on, like you would put on a jacket, whether you put in your arms or you put it over your head, to just put on humility. So if you sang this morning, God, I'm standing up and I'm putting on humility, I'm choosing to grow in humility and to put on humility this morning, won't you stand up and we're going to just do a prophetic act and put on our jackets of humility together. Sorry for those who wanted to sit, now it's slightly difficult. I know it's difficult to stay seated. So I just felt we're just going to trust the Holy Spirit and say, you know, the other thing I just feel is that you cannot do this out of your own. You listen to this. How do I need to be handled? Lord, I cannot do this. There's no ways I can do it. But that's why we have the Holy Spirit. God knew it's impossible. It is impossible to pray for the sick and be healed. It is impossible to walk in true humility. But if we have the Holy Spirit, the impossible is possible. So I'm actually, before we put on our jacket of humility, let's just open our hands. And Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would come and help us. Help us, Jesus. Come and help us. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come in again. To come and help us walk in humility, true humility. Come and help us sort out our hearts. Come and show us where are the areas that we don't see. We invite you in, Holy Spirit. Come and enable us. I pray that even in the week to come, Holy Spirit, that you would highlight and show us where we have blind spots. And even where it hurts, God, that we will know that that hurt is an invitation to more intimate relationship with you, to a kingdom that is so big and so good and so wide, but the door is sometimes through a difficult thing like humility. So, Holy Spirit, we thank you that we don't need to do this out of our own, but we choose to allow you and to partner with you and to ask you to help us. And this morning, Father, we're saying we choose to be a people of humility, to be a humble people that walk humbly with our God. The greatest privilege of all is to walk with you, Lord, and we want to please you. We want to walk with you in a way that makes you proud. And you sang in your word, Lord, that is if we walk humbly with you. So, Father, this morning, we choose to put on humility, like 1 Peter 5 says. So I want to invite you, when you're ready, I know this is very weird, prophetic act has got nothing to do with nothing, yet it has everything to do in the Spirit with what God wants to do. God said to the prophet, hit the ground. What does hitting the ground have to do with winning a war? Absolutely nothing. But when we put our faith with what God says, stuff happens. So I want to invite you, when you're ready, just put on your jacket, your humility. So however you put on a tray or a jacket, you put it on. Yes, Lord, I thank you that in the week to come, God, we can just commit our hearts, our minds to you. God, I feel for some of us, it maybe feel like we've been on the operating table and our heart is maybe, we can see it kind of, that kloppie aan die kant. It's not inside our body anymore. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come, the gentle physician, and just come and heal what needs to be healed, clean what needs to be cleaned. And I thank you for the invitation, God, the invitation to everything you have for us. So I want to put out an invitation. I'm going to close the service now. But if you would love to pray with somebody, if you're saying, goodness, this cut me deep. I just want to agree with somebody. I just want somebody to pray. Or maybe you saw something this morning, the Holy Spirit highlighted that you didn't even know was there. And you would just like to pray through it with somebody. You are most welcome to come to the front. Our team is here. So Father, I bless this church in the name of Jesus to have an amazing Sunday and to have a blessed week. In Jesus' name, amen.